star 2 to raise your hand. The web form to ask questions. There are a ton of questions that have been pouring in, and I'm excited to dig into them as well as to pick up the phone here. It looks like Beth might be on the phone. Beth, I'm going to unmute your line. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hello.
Awesome. How are you doing today? What's coming up?
I'm doing great. This is wonderful. I'm excited about this offer. It makes it really not so challenging to say no. it removes a lot of considerations, and I'm covered in goosebumps all over. So,
beautiful.
I had submitted a question because I saw that you had said that this morning. I was looking at it, and it was interesting when you just did this process. I got really kind of the answer, I think. First, the word trust came up, and then the word love, that when we went deep, and it just made my body, like, I just cried because I could feel that that was really what it was, you know, deep levels of trust, of it, allowing myself to be really loved, and not being, feeling unsafe with that. And so I'm excited about the book because I feel like just in this one experience, I can feel this. I just felt a really strong sense of peace when I dropped into the hips, and that's, you know, what I want, you know, around all that. So I just wanted to share that.
That's brilliant. This is so beautiful to hear you say this, Beth. You know, this is an example. There are maybe 5 or 6 different categories of questions that came in. People ask questions about money or healing or relationships or purpose, spiritual breakthroughs. Those are sort of the categories of the questions that I saw before the call today. And the thing is that when the answer to all of these questions distills down to this core wound, and you are right on it, you are so on this right now, it unlocks so much. And it seems so obvious to me now, but it never, ever was obvious to me before. I mean, this is just the real depth that's available through the book. So I'm really energized and excited and to celebrate your awareness that came in through the exercise around trust and love. These are core themes. And then what would it mean to have love pouring in, an unconditional stream of love that originated within you, but the source of which is not your mind or your heart, but the very embodied divine mystery by whatever name within you, like a fountain that knows no beginning and no end, whose only purpose is to shower every aspect of you in love. It's just beautiful to hear you speak of, Beth.
It just feels, for me, it feels expansive, soft, peaceful. There's no words. Really, it feels more, I don't know, it just feels like a big breath.
Yeah.
Not like, because the opposite of what I was feeling, what I was feeling before that was this attachment and like this pull into the separate self that was getting, would get triggered, and then judgment and criticism would come in, and then it was like, you know, and it all goes back to the, it just feels like high levels of trust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's beautiful. It's really wonderful to hear you reflecting on this. You know, one of the things that I'm just becoming more deeply aware of, and I know we have members on the call of the original raw manuscript book study, I will forever hold the 12 who gathered for that raw manuscript in my, they just have a very special place in my consciousness. And the work that we did as a group is now embodied in the manuscript. And I mean, a huge part of me is really excited to see what is going to unfold now in the next revision, in the next refinements, in the next level of transmission. I mean, I feel like there's a whole new level of breakthroughs that's going to come through. And I mean, I'm curious for myself, of course, but I'm equally, if not more curious for how those breakthroughs come through to everyone who's going to be joining this new pre-release book study as well. And I hope that includes you, Beth. That would just be an incredible honor and a privilege to have you be part of the circle.
What's so amazing is the energy support all of this. So it seems like it can, compared to when we first started working together a few years ago, where the energies felt so much different to work through. So it's like your timing is so superb with all of this because of the energy. So it's just really powerful.
Yeah, I mean, I it's sort of like the book, you know, my separate self would love to take credit for the book, but I'm the conduit, I'm the transcriptionist. And it's the same with the timing, you know, the timing is just, you know, I feel like it's divinely orchestrated. I feel like everything is unfolding. It makes me cry. It's so powerful.
Yeah. I know.
It just really moves me.
I know. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for your courage and your willingness to keep doing this.
Well, my separate self would love to stand up and say, yeah, this is, I guess there is some courage involved, but a bigger part of it for me more and more is I just can't. It's like I have no choice. I'm just being who I am. And
yeah,
such a privilege and an honor to sit with you and the others in this community in this way, Beth. It really is very, very moving for me. So thank you for making yourself part of the community and for all the ways we walk together.
Thank you. And I look forward to doing this book with you, working with this group.
Yeah, I can't wait. We'll get started soon. Much love and gratitude to you, Beth.
Just one question:
if I'm gonna
miss a couple of sessions, it'll be available right afterwards.
Oh yeah, yeah. Let's talk about that real quick. That's a great question. So each session is live, right? And that may or may
what
not
time?
Fit every week, right?
What time?
It's recorded. Oh, what time? It's at 5 p.m. Eastern, which is 2 p.m. Pacific. These are U.S. times. I know we have people from around the world who are going to be part of this. We had a member of the Raw Manuscript who was in New Zealand, several people in Europe, and so on. I know we'll have people all around the world in different time zones, so not everyone can get on live. The primary calls are at that time, 5 p.m. Eastern U.S., which is also 2 p.m. Pacific U.S., the same time that this call started.
Okay.
And then the bonus, the Ask Me Anythings, the Friday, those will take place on Friday, and those will be at noon Eastern, so a little earlier in the day, which is 9 a.m. Pacific. Again, I'm using U.S. times. And everything is recorded. You'll be able to submit questions and reflections ahead of time. I'll interact as if you're on the line live, because from my perspective, you are. I don't have an experience of time exactly the way that most people do. It's all now. So we'll interact both energetically and with words in real time from my perspective, whether you've submitted the questions ahead of time or you're on the line during the session or not. And then you'll have access to those recordings, and you'll have access to the program portal on an ongoing basis. So all those resources will be available to stream and also to download.
Perfect. Beautiful. Thank you.
Beautiful. Much love and gratitude and peace to you, Beth. I'm excited you'll be part of this.
Love to you and peace to you too, Ken.
Thanks so much. Bye for now. Okay, star two to raise your hand. Julie, I see your hand up. I'm going to go over to the web form, and I actually am going to pull my laptop over onto my – I'm actually going to put it on my lap so I can read I can read the questions easier. Yeah. Let me just – let's see. Great. Core wound feels like unworthiness. Sherry, yes. Here's a question that came in, and I'll come back to the phone. Very uncomfortable feelings come up with the transmission that are still there. What do I do with these feelings? Feel them. Allow yourself to express them. And the replay will be up very, very soon. You can listen to the replay of the transmission. And if you're going to be joining the book study, you'll receive the complete manuscript immediately, as soon as you complete your registration. And the end of chapter transmissions are immediately available. So you could go engage with the chapter one transmission, which would support you more deeply. But this call and this session, this transmission, are available for free. You can download it, and you can listen and feel, and we're doing deep and profound work. It's really still going on, even during the Q&A. I know we sort of formally wrapped that up. I was trying to delineate that in an effective way to demarcate the different experiences that we were having during the call, that continues on. Okay, I'm going to jump back over to the phone. And Julie, I think your line is unmuted. Are you there?
Yeah, hi.
Hi, great to hear your voice. I do.
Hi. So, I'm having a hard time. So I guess for those of us who didn't feel anything, so for me in general, as far as emotionally,
mm-hmm.
is this still having an effect?
Yeah, it's a great question. One of the things that I realized and just continue to realize at a deeper and deeper level is that the bodily sensations and the emotions are not universals. So eventually these things happen, but if we're attached to them, that can create a very, very frustrating dynamic. So, and I want to use actually a member of the community as an example to illustrate this. There's a member of the community who's part of the this person is going to be part of the book study, and we did one-on-one work for I don't know 3 or 4 years on a weekly or every other weekly basis, and there were no bodily sensations at all associated with the work that was happening, and rather than And lots of other people are saying, oh my gosh, I can feel this. All this stuff's going on. And this person just would say, I don't feel anything. I don't ever feel anything. But instead of allowing that to become a barrier, they just stayed with it. They just stayed with their experience, whatever it was, no sensation. And I don't think much, if any, emotion either, maybe none. And then all of a sudden, about a year and a half ago, bodily sensations started happening. And with those, more emotion. And one of the things that showed me and demonstrated to me, and this has really been anchored in on a deeper level for me just in the last 6 weeks, is that, let's say, the way I perceive or the process that I think is happening or how I experience the process that is spelled out by spiritual mastery or sitting in the divine mystery or whatever, the blah, blah, blah we want to say, whatever placeholder words we want to use for it, that's not really the most relevant thing. The most relevant thing is your experience of it. And what we can say definitively, even though it may require a tremendous amount of trust if there are no sensations or no emotion, is that what needs to be happening is what is unfolding. Now, that's not always what we want to have happen. And I think it's important to acknowledge that. But the one who is wanting is almost always the separate self. Certainly the one who's disappointed that something didn't happen is always the separate self. The whole self, I don't think, is ever disappointed. It may have emotion, but I don't think it ever expresses disappointment the way the separate self does. So it's a long answer to your question. Yes, the experience of emotion is not a necessary component of the recipe, so to speak. It's just, for some, an experience that takes place.
Okay. So then how does, since this is, I thought, a breakthrough conversation, then where does the breakthrough come through if there's no real thought or feeling around it?
Well, I mean, the breakthrough for me has come from a place of a deeper level of appreciation and trust for the depth of what's happening there. But I don't want to try to impose my breakthroughs on anyone else. The point of sharing the breakthroughs is to say I am shaking my head in wonder and awe at what this framework or what this structure of spiritual mastery continues to deliver. But as for the individual experience that each person has with it, I think these are incredibly varied. And the breakthrough that we each of us have individually, I mean, rarely does it ever look the way we think it's going to, first of all. I mean, that's almost universally true. And just because I'm having a breakthrough in awareness of this doesn't necessarily mean that that breakthrough is a meaningful at the level of experience for everyone else who is engaging with it. There's a process that, this is how I would understand it and describe it today. There's a process that spiritual mastery takes us through. And it doesn't end when I thought it did. It doesn't hand the ball off. It doesn't hand the baton off to another runner in the relay. It continues to participate at a deeper and deeper level. And the impact of that, from my perspective, is quite profound. But it's profound in the sense that over the last 11 years, I'm seeing things through a new lens in a backwards, with insight looking backwards, I guess is how I would say it. And those insights many times have come from a very, very subtle shift initially, oftentimes an imperceptibly small shift that I can only notice much later on. Is this helping?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
What else is coming up for you, Julie?
No, I guess I was, I was hoping to have my own breakthrough. So that's what I was looking for. But I'll sit with us.
Yeah, I think your breakthrough, my breakthrough, that person's breakthrough, I think these things are all inevitable. The tumbler for the lock for that breakthrough, when those pieces fall into place, they do so because, not because we desire them per se, but because we've integrated the things that bring us to that breakthrough enough to unlock the next experience of who we are. And that's not to create some sort of rarefied air dynamic around the next experience. It's why I love the example of the developmental journey of crawling and walking and running, even though that might seem, you know, sort of, I was going to say pedestrian, but I didn't mean it in a punny way. I mean, it may seem overly simplistic, like I'm smart, I should be able to get this. Spiritual mastery, or the developmental process of our spiritual journey, does not have anything to do with how smart we are. We're all very, very smart, but at some point, the intellect of the separate self is a barrier in and of itself. So here's an example of this. Like the door to come into my house, sometimes I have to pull against it to release the deadbolt to get in. But pulling against it is completely the opposite of intuitively what I would think I would need to do. Or maybe it's not, maybe it's obvious, but it seemed counterintuitive to me the first time I did it. And it's that kind of counterintuitive sense of releasing the tension in all of the tumblers of the lock that lead to the breakthrough that actually creates an environment for breakthroughs to happen. Which I guess is a subtle or not so subtle way of saying that letting go of attachment to breakthrough is one of the keys to actually opening up to having a breakthrough. If that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Beautiful. What else is, anything else coming up to ask about or reflect on, Julie?
No. Thanks.
Okay. Well, I'm grateful you're here. Much love and gratitude and peace to you.
You too.
Thanks. Good
night, Ken.
Good night. Okay, star 2 to raise your hand. There's all this activity coming in on the web form. I'm going to address some. I don't think there are any hands up right now. So star 2, if you'd like to put your hand up, I'll come back to the phone line here in just a minute. Sue in Connecticut, that was wonderful. Thank you, Ken. One thing I have a challenge with is listening to a man speak with authority as if he knows everything. Uh-oh, was I talking as if I know everything? As the divine feminine rises up, the patriarchy of ego must peel away. It's just a trigger for me. However, and you are the truth. Oops. It's just a trigger for me, however, and you are the truth. Words can be so useless when speaking of divine consciousness. I know how it feels, though, and I'm on my way to unity consciousness. Indeed, I am the love of the Most High in my love. Blessings, good luck with your book, and thank you for sharing your being. Beautiful. That's interesting, too. Some awareness. Markia, how do we know what the core wound is? Do we need to know? So, Markia, I don't know that we need to know it, but it eventually will lead to clarity in the runway to surrender, to understand what the core wound is, because it gives something to focus on as it relates to surrender. Early experiences with surrender in middle stage 2 and late stage 2 can look like, well, I can let go of control of this or that. I'll just say this. That's my experience with surrender. Okay, I let go of control of the things I wanted to let go of control of. And the things I didn't want to let go of control of, I didn't. And the challenge is that as long as control is being held, then the liberation that comes with the transition into conduit consciousness is held at bay. Conduit consciousness being the experience of liberation and freedom, one expression of the breakthrough that is available for us as human beings, breaking through the illusion of separation. So on the one hand, no, it's not necessary to understand that. In fact, at some basic level, the desire to understand things is an expression of separation. And if we sort of capitalize or leverage our desire to understand things and wade into structure enough that we understand, that we can begin letting go, that can be a very, very powerful journey. And at some point, I think it's true, see for yourself, of course, each of us are walking this journey from our own perspective. It certainly was true in my case. Understanding what I needed to surrender to specifically, that there was indeed just one thing, was absolutely essential for me. Before I came to that awareness, I thought there were two things. I thought it related to money and self-love. Since then, I've come to a lot of clarity around money, and there were actually a number of questions about money. In my view, money is an amplifier of consciousness. It is not something in and of itself. It is simply an amplifier of consciousness. So if there's stuff going on around money, it's showing you something else. In my case, it was showing me self-love. It was showing me my core wound and my attempts to secure self-love, so that when I surrendered ultimately to the divine on the 30th of June, 2011, I surrendered self-love. I gave up my attempt to try to secure and control for self-love, because that thing, that one thing, that core wound was driving every other expression of control. And as long as there is an attempt to control, we are holding the divine at bay with a stop sign. It's I've written about this before with the community and had some very spirited and interesting conversations with different people in the community about this. Thomas Keating referred to this in a conversation he and I had, an interview he gave with me, where he called it the illusion of free will, which can sound a little discouraging until we dig into a little bit more. But let's just say, for the sake of simplicity, that the illusion of free will is the dynamic wherein the separate self in victim consciousness, the disempowered separate self, and in controlling consciousness, the empowered separate self, are trying to discover their independence, their ability to direct or control or affect experiences. Ultimately, we can't have an experience of the solution to the problem of separation, the core wound, in the consciousness of separation. And so there it is. There's the breakthrough articulated out, right? And we know what it is that we're holding on to control on. We no longer are we looking at all these expressions of control. In my case, it went down to two. Maybe you've got five. Maybe you're already down to one. But that one thing for me, that core wound, was the thing that drove every expression of control in my life. Thank you so much for the question. Toggle back. Okay. So I want to go through these questions that were submitted here and explore these, because I think, when there are additional questions that come in on the webcast, I would love to address those. I would love to chat with those on the phone. If you have questions that are coming up, you can ask questions about the program. You can ask questions about the book study, the book, anything we've talked about. I'm happy to talk about spirituality in general, whatever. I'm really interested in engaging fully. And I've got another half an hour or so before I want to wrap up the call. So I'm happy to invest that with you, however it serves each of you best. So there was a submission that came in long before we started, on Sunday, I believe, from Sal. Self-love, and it would be and it would open up. This is the question: was what's the one thing? And it would open up abundance in all positive ways, open up having loving and supporting relationships, and being at peace with just being me. No need to constantly improve and change into a better version of me. And again, from my perspective, Beth and I were talking about this, and I think I talked about this just a moment ago with Markia. This is exactly the point, right? When we have an experience, an affirmative experience of the lesson. So in my case, and I suggest this in the book. I think this might be true universally, but it doesn't really matter whether I suggest it or not. From my perspective, it seems likely that self-love is the core thing, the core wound for everyone. But it doesn't matter if I suggest it or not, because the separate self has to come to its own awareness. The separate self is the one who is surrendering. And it is the pathway through surrender that is only available through surrender that creates the liberation and freedom that we seek. And so I think you have it exactly right, Sal. Self-love opens up everything else, including abundance. The challenge is, if we get into attachment, and attachment is the thing that drives our surrender, that's not actually surrender, is it? We're not actually opening up to something that is unknown. And there's a deep exploration of that in the book. Judy, in Coralville, when I asked myself what I was most afraid of, and the answer came men, I have been working with this for the last 3 days. Yeah, the thing is that when we start asking ourselves deeper questions, it can be a profound opening on so many different levels. It's my belief that whether we get stirred up and have something gets triggered, in other words, what comes up is an experience of dissonance, a frustration with a lack of a breakthrough, or pain in the body, or an upsetting emotion, or whatever, whether it's dissonance or a deeper experience of resonance, both are instructive because they're both pointing to or illuminating that which is either integrated or cueing to be integrated in the case of dissonance. So at the beginning of the call, I alluded to something else begins to happen. We paint our lives in terms of resonance and dissonance from the place of polarity, but it's either resonance or dissonance. But as we move through these developmental stages in consciousness, that polarity begins to fade away. Something very, very different begins to happen. Okay. Nancy in Albuquerque, breakthrough needed, healing for foot, hip, neck joints, what this would mean to me, more time and energy for family, patients, students, and to clean up my environment. Okay, so how do we move into a state of deeper resonance physically by the mechanisms that we've explored so far? Within the structure of spiritual mastery is a practice that I received in the form of a download that I call Beneath the Sand. And this is explained in chapter five, which is called On Healing. And actually, there's a preview of this chapter on the website, on the pre-release book study website. You can get to that website if you're just tuning into the call or are interested in going and looking at that. Now, you can get to it at kenwstone.com/book. Just leave it all lowercase. KenWStone.com/book. So in Beneath the Sand, what we have is a visceral practice of wholeness. That is to say, it is a practice of wholeness that does not originate from the mind or from the heart. It is not a projection of the separate self. It is an opening to the felt in the body experience of wholeness, which wholeness in some way is, at least as it relates to the physical body, a little bit easier to understand, because if we're having an experience of challenges, physical health, pain all over my body, foot, hip, and so on, as Nancy shared, then we don't have to imagine what wholeness would be like. We can hold in our awareness or imagine that this pain is gone. And I want to keep it sort of on a simple to understand level. I mean, the book is The manuscript is 105, almost 106,000 words. It's an extensive transmission. To try to summarize it in a few minutes on a call, I don't think would do the material service. On the flip side, I want to answer the question here. I'd like to illuminate the pathway to healing. So if we back away from the specifics of how that happens and even let go or surrender a specific or particular outcome in the body, and instead focus on having an experience of who we really are, effectively lifting the veil on the illusion of separation, which is the illusion of separation is actually the second chapter of the book, then namely the experience or belief that we're separate from one another, from ourselves, and from God, just in summary. So if we focus on that as our primary attention, then something very different begins to unfold than if we focus on trying to heal the body. Healing the body happens from the perspective of stage two, opening to an experience of wholeness, whatever that is an experience that can unfold in stage three, in conduit consciousness versus manifestor consciousness. And you'll notice there's some tension here between a lot of healing modalities and what I'm saying. A lot of healing modalities have within them the element of intention, which, as I've expressed, is an expression of control. And I'm talking about a different level of being where control is no longer necessary. God does not need to be told what to do. God, in its complete expression, or the divine, or the universe, whatever name resonates with you, in its full undistorted expression, expresses in ways we can't begin to imagine. And when we're surrendered, we stop living in the gap between what we want and what is true. So there's a lot here. I'm happy to dive into it deeper. I'm going on this exploration based on Nancy's simple question or comment. So hopefully this is serving. Linda in Ontario, Canada. How do I embody this presence of who I truly am continuously? I am a Course in Miracles student for several decades, and I have made a commitment for over 6 months to sit in this presence daily for a minimum of 30 minutes. My breakthrough would be authentically present in the love and peace all the time. I'm smiling, Linda, because I feel like this is one of the things that God built me for, is the literally these words, the embodiment of this presence. So we did some embodiment work, and we've talked a little bit about the transmutation that comes up from that in chapter 6 of the book, which is on soul embodiment and breaking the trauma cycle. There's a lengthy exploration and understanding at the level of the mind or thinking and feeling, and also in being, in that chapter, where I think the exact thing that you're asking for is spelled out. Of course, it builds on the prior five chapters. All of this is cumulative. But the answer is the thing that you are seeking here is actually who you are. So it is a function of uncovering this experience. Even the process of embodiment, the idea that we're disembodiment, this is illusory. It's not actually true. We are already fully embodied. We are already healed. We are already enlightened. We are already the undistorted expression and extension of the divine. That's another breakthrough, right? Is the experience of that, the embodied knowledge of that, is very different than the intellectual knowledge of that. And of course, what it does is it animates those aspects that are still held in control. So whereas some people take the approach that those aspects of control or fear or whatever are to be sort of managed or minimized, I take the opposite approach. I think they're to be explored and animated because I believe they contain within them a aspect of the truth, that is the wholeness of who you are, a gift of part of your whole self, which can only express if it is animated. And through its animation and your embodied presence, can it be transmuted? And as those things transmute, rather than being caught in that trauma cycle where we embody and disembody over and over, we begin sinking into that divine presence. And as we sink into it, it begins to envelop us and take us over on every conceivable level. Great question. Brian and Henry, the area I most want clarity on is relationships, particularly romantic relationships. So this is an interesting question, right? If whether it's clarity in an existing relationship or clarity in a relationship that would be to take place in the future, there's an interesting parallel from my perspective between this and the question of money. In a sense, these are both reflections of consciousness. And so I was thinking about this while I was walking today, and there's a process that we go through where as we come to a deeper embodiment of the consciousness of who we really are, the things we are not naturally fall away. But they don't fall away because we have suppressed them. They fall away because we have engaged with them and discovered they bear no fruit. One of those things might be, and this may or may not relate to your experience, Brian, one of those might be, I'm not worthy of a mate, or I'm not worthy of God's love, right? To me, these are both expressions of the same energy. But if we understand or explore what goes into that and allow ourselves to feel it in conjunction with an embodiment practice, that dissonance can be burned up by the presence of one set of language would be the embodied divine or the Holy Spirit, the embodied Holy Spirit. Right? All of these things are just saying the same thing. So from my perspective, the pathway to gaining clarity in romantic relationship is exactly the same process that I've been describing. One process that has as its application all of these things, but rather than the focus of the process being the thing that you're saying, these relationships, either through choice or deflection for having chased down or pursued solutions that ultimately don't bear fruit because they come out of control. They come from controlling consciousness. Eventually, we all pass through that door with the big S on it. Stands for surrender, though we think it might be other things. Lorna, here's another, this is a great question, or a great comment. Lorna in Calgary, to come out of hiding, to be seen, and in doing so, step into and claim the leadership in my marriage relationship and the work that is already ready to come through me into the world. Beautiful. Beautiful. May sound like a broken record, right? Same exact process. From my perspective, victim consciousness is an identification with the disempowered separate self. It's embodiment in the mind. Controlling consciousness is embodiment in the mind and the heart, still identified with the separate self, now empowered. Conduit consciousness is embodiment in the hips. What happens when we drop into the hips? We are seen. Julie in Sudbury says, I would like to know how to stop hating myself so much of the time. if you listen to the transmission again and you notice the overlay of this imagery, we're riding an elevator from the top of your head down to your pelvic floor. For men, full embodiment is a little bit lower than the pelvic girdle as a function of our anatomy. For women, it's the pelvic girdle. So if you're someone who visualizes, or that's a helpful perspective, you'll notice by the time the elevator gets into the hips, whatever feeling has been going on, hating myself has a lot of energy of the mind, doesn't it? It's gone. But the stopping of it was not from attending to it. It wasn't to overcome it. It wasn't to do battle with it. It was to experience love. I did the process of dropping into the hips, the elevator into the hips with my 14-year-old. She's now 14. She just turned 14 last month. And I asked her, what does that feeling feel like? And she said, it feels like love. So to stop hating yourself. It's to drop into your hips. Star 2, if you're on the phone, I want to make sure I open up to interact there, questions that are coming up. Mundy in the UK, longtime member of the community. Hello, Ken. I'm touched to see your email in my inbox for tonight. My prayer would be, help me transcend my own image of safety. If I put this as a core wound that were healed, I'd say, if this wound, I'm not safe for healed, life would flow through me. Can I suggest a small language adjustment, Mundy? To transcend is to move beyond. To transmute is to burn up. May the wound be burnt up by the embodied presence of your soul, of the embodied divine. Here's an interesting, this is fascinating. I have found, Sandy, I have found that issues come up when my consciousness is seeking understanding clarity concerning them. As soon as clarity comes, the issue ceases to be an issue. The problem is often gaining clarity when there are conflicting emotions and belief systems. Well said, Sandy. Well said. So, how can we address that? From my perspective, one way to address that is to embody more fully. We can even do it right now. Feels like I'm going to, let me just see if there's, someone's asking about how to get movement on a Hollywood movie. It's a great manifestor consciousness question. The way to get moving on everything that is in absolute alignment with the core of who you really are, which you may or may not be consciously aware of, and it's essential to be able to accept that. If you're attached to the idea that you know every expression of your whole self, there's a journey to surrender in front of you, because I, from my perspective at least, it seems to me impossible that any one person would know the totality of their conscious, consciously, of every expression of their whole self. So the way to make that happen isn't to make it happen, but to be the whole person that you are, which we've been talking about. And I may sound like I'm on a repeat loop here. So let's do this. Let me just want to see if there are any other questions coming in. I want to offer another experience here, okay? Because this, I think this would be the thing that I could do that would really, before I read the author's preface, I want to offer this. You know what? I'm going to read the preface and then I'll do the transmission. The answer to all of these questions is in both of these. Okay? Let's do this. Let's open up and clear a space for us to be as we really are. Let's take a deep breath in and hold. And as you release this breath, let go of everything that was in your awareness, even up to a few moments ago. And as you release the breath, open more fully to the complete experience of who you are in this moment. Not who you think you are, who you really are. And then I want to read this, and then I'm going to do a process with you. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make this its own recording. It'll make it even easier. That way everyone who's listening to this on replay has it on its own. Okay. You don't have to worry about it. Everyone who's on the line live, you'll continue to be on the line. But I'm going to put this on its own recording. My little gift to you.